This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer, a free-for-all Friday.
You're asking to hear something I don't want to say, but if I do say it, I think you ought to hear it.
You got anything on your chest besides your chin, you better get it off.
All right, then you asked for it.
Yes, we did. So lay it on us. Free for All Friday means you set the tone. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Good afternoon and welcome to this Free for All Friday. As always, we have a lot to talk about. And I think the big topic of the day is going to be e-bikes and e-scooters, and this idea apparently floating at Toronto City Hall to license them. Now, people all over the province seem to agree that a lot, unfortunately, of the drivers, who are mostly young men, drive in a really irresponsible, inconsiderate, and frankly, dangerous manner when they are delivering food. They get up on the sidewalk in motorized vehicles if they think they can beat some of the traffic. People in cars cannot. They cut in front of moving vehicles, which is very scary if you are a driver and you want to be safe on the roads and certainly not hit anybody, not do anything like that. So the idea of a license, a lot of people like. However, the question always is, well, how is it going to be administered? And once a sharp pencil is applied to the idea, usually it comes, well, it's going to cost more to administer it than it's worth. I think Councillor John Burnside had a great idea yesterday. He said, give the police the right, the power to seize these things if there is bad behavior. But then I thought, gee, you want to be fair. So normally something like this, you'd give somebody a warning. But how do you give them a warning if they don't have licenses, if they don't have proper ID, if we don't know exactly who owns the bike? So the reasonable thing would be to get the delivery apps online. Now, they have not shown themselves to be good corporate citizens, I think, in the least. But if you give the cops the power and you let them know that their deliveries could be compromised, because if a guy is stopped and his vehicle is taken, either he has to walk the food to the place or it gets taken in, I don't know. Maybe that is the way to go. Maybe we have to get tough. Because as I've been saying on a whole raft of everything, there's kind of a general lawlessness. Nobody does stuff for the good of all of us. Also, another thing that we were musing about was this very abrupt firing by Olivia Chow of the board of the Toronto Parking Authority, which is the only city agency that makes money, by the way. And the mayor said she was doing it to save money. Whoa, there's a switch. So we were thinking, okay, but generally, if you take an agency that is being run in kind of private hands, or nonprofit or whatever arm's length, and you give it to city bureaucrats to administer it as profitably and as efficiently, well, generally not, is my take. And how many bureaucrats does it take for whatever? And the answer is usually more than we have now, often working from home in other jurisdictions, but I digress. However, there is now a more nefarious explanation that the city, that the mayor and our city finances are apparently going to be in even worse shape. We've lost the speed cameras and a lot less land transfer tax, that she wants to sell off a lot of this land to developers And very unlikely that these developers who notionally would buy it would turn it into affordable housing. But I digress again, that she wants to sell it off and thereby make her balance sheet look better as she heads into an election. So, and one of the things they say, these green peas are underutilized. Well, I can tell you in my neighborhood strip along St. Clair, they are not underutilized. They are always full. And there's pretty good street parking on St. Clair, reasonable street parking. So the only things that I see underutilized, actually, when I'm in any of our city lots are the spots that are reserved for e-vehicles and e-charging and ride-sharing. Those I find always empty, while the rest of us can't find a spot. So those are two things. I would like to hear from you on whatever you want to talk about, but especially on the question of e-bikes and e-scooters and what to do about them, and on the parking thing. Let my people park. The numbers to call: 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And we begin with Martin in Brampton. Hi, Martin.
Hello, how are you doing?
Fine, go ahead, Martin, you're on the air.
Yeah, I think that in Brampton here, we have cameras that meet at problem intersections, where if you don't pay attention, you're going to get photographed and get a ticket. And I think that the e-bikes, we should license them, and they have to pay attention at intersections. Now, if we take the speed cameras out and put them at intersections, I think that would be legal, because you're not speeding, you're just breaking the rules at the intersection, especially the e-bikes. And then you got intersections where people, they're on their phone waiting for the light, they're not paying attention, or they go through a red light, make a left on a red light, get in there, and you're the second car, and you block the traffic going the other way. And in Toronto, there's so many signs you got to pay attention to that people don't do that. And I think that Olivia Chow could get her money back from the problem intersections. And I agree with the e-bike. They got to be licensed. They absolutely have to. If you're making money off it, like I live in Brampton. I go to Brampton City Center, and I see a lineup of e-bikes ready to deliver food from the food court in the mall. And none of them have license. None of them have a little plate or something. Should go back to where, when we were kids, we could buy plates from the corner store. And you put the license plate on your bike like your dad has on his truck.
Nothing is that simple anymore, Martin. So here's the thing. In Vaughan, and I think in Brampton too, those speed cameras are going to be repurposed. However, in Toronto, they belong to a third party. And apparently the third party is going to take them away and use them in another jurisdiction, because Toronto doesn't own those cameras. That's what my understanding of the problem is. And licensing, I mean, I've been told six ways to Sunday that the licensing process can't go back to the way it was when we were kids. I think, what do you think of the idea of just seizing the bikes, giving the cops the power to do that?
Well, there's a lot of people that are private, you know, you got kids driving around on them. Around here, I'm on the top floor of an apartment, so I can see the road clearly. The bike lanes are used okay, and you can't seize the bike. I mean, you got a license that make it easy somehow. I mean, you know, QX your code and go pick up your plates, or just phone up, QX your code on the computer, and then that bike is registered.
Okay, yeah, I have a hunch there are reasons not to do that, Martin, but you know, we'll carry it forward, and who knows, maybe you can be the QR guy. Thanks for your call. So people, again, what do you think of the idea? They're talking about licensing e-bikes. I'm sure that would come with a big bureaucracy and the bill for the big bureaucracy. Councillor John Burnside had this idea, just give the cops the power to seize the e-bikes if they are behaving badly on the roads. And my question is, well, I think that's a good idea. I'm always pretty tough on stuff like this. So what do you think? I think we should be able to give these drivers a warning, but how do you warn them if there is no license and if they don't carry ID and who knows what? So the numbers to call, 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And also this emerging story. So why did Olivia Chow abruptly fire the board of the only Toronto agency that makes money, the Toronto Parking Authority? And now there's speculation that she did it because she wants to sell off the land they're sitting on to make her bottom line look a little better, to pad out her books as she heads into an election next fall. So that's a theory. I don't have proof of it, but it kind of sits right with me. What do you think? The numbers to call, 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. Let's go to Jerry in Markham. Hi, Jerry.
Good afternoon, Libby. As we're on the eve of the 7th annual Zoomer Radiothon for Princess Margaret, I wanted to remind them to dig deep into their pockets on Thursday.
It's this coming Tuesday, November 25th.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I misspoke. And while we're on the subject of PMH, I'd like to do a shout-out to my oncologist, Dr. Charles Catton, and that very talented staff of his to whom I owe my life. Cancer research is something you can't put a price tag on, and Princess Margaret is certainly the best at it. And I'm sure you'd agree on that point.
I certainly do agree on that point. As a matter of fact, We just launched at the beginning of the week my documentary on my latest treatment for stomach cancer there. We take you inside. As I said, I hope it provides a little bit of a roadmap for people going through it. There's a lot of uncertainty and anxiety that goes along with a cancer diagnosis, and no better people to treat it than those at the Princess Margaret. And thank you for giving a promo to our upcoming Radiothon. It's coming up on Tuesday, so listen to all the programming we have around that.
Let's all dig deep.
dig deep. That's right, Jerry. Thank you very much for that. I'm looking at the clock, and it's time for our first break. I'm going to give the numbers out again and again. I think we want to talk about e-bikes and e-scooters. By the way, those e-scooters, well, a lot of people on them are children. And hospitals have come out with studies and complained that they're seeing a lot of injuries related to those e-scooters. And if you fine an e-scooter, well, you're not really fining the kid, you're fining their parents. Okay, so let me give you the numbers out again. And there's also this parking thing that's coming up. Why did Olivia Chow fire the board of the city's only profitable agency, the Toronto Parking Authority? And is she, in fact, setting up to sell some of those green pea parking lots, which really help out those of us trying to shop in neighborhoods, retailers, restaurants, whomever, trying to make a living in the neighborhood? Is she just planning on selling those, because we know at City Hall, only bad people drive. The numbers to call, 416-360-0740, toll-free 1-866-740-4740, and we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer.
When one considers the meaning of life, it is a struggle between alternative viewpoints of life itself.
A free-for-all Friday.
And without the ability to defend one's own viewpoint against other, perhaps more aggressive ideologies, then reasonableness and moderation could quite simply disappear.
Name your topic and be as deep as you like, as long as there's a point in there somewhere. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Welcome back to this free-for-all Friday. Lots to talk about today. And I just had to deal with a little technical issue that I wasn't aware of. We can't have my phone close to this. I moved it. So people, please be a bit patient. We're going to be taking all of your calls. And also this. That is the bell. The bell is close by. And last week, I remember we had quite a number of first-time callers at the very end of the show when it's hard to take them all. So if you're thinking of making a call for the first time, please do it. And we welcome those calls, and you'll get the bell. The bell's working. So just think about doing it perhaps a little sooner rather than later. We've been talking about those e-bikes and e-scooters, and an idea apparently floating at City Hall to license them. And when I talked to our municipal panel, John Burnside, who is a sitting councillor and a really good guy, agreed with me that that could trigger a whole new... Even though one of our callers said, yeah, just put up a QR code. Nothing's that simple at City Hall, certainly not in Toronto. So let me give the numbers out again, and I will get right to the phones, the numbers to call. 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. Let's go to Ed in Burlington. Hello, Ed.
Hello. I am 75 years old, and I own an e-bike. I just want to clarify the issues with the e-bikes. Some of the e-bikes are self-assisted, pedal-assisted bikes. They don't go above 30 kilometers an hour. The other bikes, they have a throttle, and they don't have a limit speed. Those are the ones similar to the scooters, that they are going very fast, and they are extremely difficult. Well, they're more difficult to handle. But basically, that is my comment that I was going to say. And for sure, there is a lack of courtesy and common sense, and it should be a better, more decency on the roads for everybody included.
Well, Ed, I am sure that you are not the problem. And it's great that you have an e-bike so that you can use it as a bicycle and then get some assistance. And it's very easy to put, you know, parameters around those things. Say, okay, we're only going to require a license for those that go over the 30 kilometers an hour. And to make things even more complicated, I mean, if you own one of those things, you can jerry-rig it so that it goes faster. Some of them take off the pedals altogether. So, yes, absolutely, you're right. But again, and good for you for getting an e-bike. I'm sure you use it in the most responsible way.
Well, I this is my third bike, and I go up the escarpment. I have
exactly.
So I really enjoy the outing, and but basically it's lack of courtesy in the driving for both the cyclists and the car owners towards each other.
Absolutely, I'm not against the e-bike that people use in a responsible way. The problem is the people driving it, who I guess they're trying to make a living, but they don't seem to care about anybody else on the roads. Ed, enjoy your e-bike. I hope you have something nice planned for this weekend. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Same to you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Let's go to Dan in Elwood. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Libby. I think we should give Olivia Chow a new name.
Uh-huh.
We'll call her Olivia. Yeah, we'll call her Olivia Chow Harris.
Harris?
Oops.
Oops. What do you mean by that?
Well, look what happened to the 407 when Harris let go of it. Let the,
right.
The same thing that happened with the parking lots. It'd just be a matter of time. Nobody could afford to park the cars.
Well, yeah, I don't think that would upset the so-called progressives at City Hall. Presumably, most of them have drivers or whatever getting them around. But yes, that's an example. And one theory about why we have green peas is to keep parking prices down. And
yes,
I use private parking lots if I have to, but it's already very expensive. It's a lot of them are like $5 for the first 20 minutes. So, you know, you probably can't even find the elevator in the first 20 minutes. And so, I mean, who knows what the parking rates would be if there were no green peas, or if there were no green peas where the city was successful at selling them. So, yes, you're absolutely right, though. I think she would really bristle at being compared to Mike Harris, but that is a very good example of how short-term gain by selling off an asset translates into very long-term pain.
Exactly. You nailed that one right in the head when you said that. Now, and in the meantime, if she wants to keep pushing this thing, she might not appreciate being called Olivia Chow Harris. And if that caught on, it might help.
Hopefully we can make things happen without name calling. People have been called worse than Harris, and he did some good things too. Dan, thanks for your call. Let's go to Simone in Parkdale. Hello, Simone.
Hi there. The parking authority, now she's fired the executives, the paid executives, and she wants to hire non-paid people. I have an idea, a feeling that there would be a bunch of leftists like her. Now, as far as she wants to save us money, well, how about giving contracts to outside companies that they refuse over and over again, which would save us about $300 million a year?
Oh, that's open contracts. That's another issue, right? Not just their suggested suppliers, unions that they have deals with, or their union supporters.
That's right. Every time that it comes up for a vote, they vote against it, and they pretend they want to save us money.
Her record on saving money is not so hot.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. All righty. Let us go to Jim in Toronto. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Libby. You're always an excellent host. I love listening to you. No problem. I'm just going to say, in terms of that caller with the e-bike, he said be courteous. It's not about being courteous. It's about using the right of way and what makes sense and using critical thinking. And what's safe. And a lot of times I see pedestrians, back when I grew up with you too probably, there was education programs on TV and that about educating, not drivers, I got to get a license, but also pedestrians have a responsibility. And I see a lot of bikers and pedestrians taking liberties. They walk out with their head on their cell phone, they don't look, they don't scan, they have to use common sense and critical thinking. And that's what I wanted to say, Libby.
Oh, that's true. That's another thing that I find scary as a driver is that, like, why are people outsourcing their safety entirely to me and other drivers? Because they're crossing often busy streets with buds in their ears and looking at their cell phones. They don't they don't look at the traffic, and they won't hear. Very scary. But the heavier and more dangerous the vehicle you drive, the bigger your responsibility. I agree with that. And that's why let's talk about these e-bikes and the way they are being driven and the places they are being driven. And let's try to get a handle on that. But Jim, thanks for your call. Let's see who's next. Let us go to Anne in Rexdale. Hello, Anne.
Hi, Libby. I just wanted to mention that I don't know if people know this, but recently Dellen Millard has been transferred from maximum security prison into a medium security facility by Corrections Canada. Now, I don't know if you remember, but he's the person that murdered Tim Bosma, Laura Babcock, and his own father, and had even bought an animal incinerator to dispose of the bodies. And for some reason, he's been transferred to a medium security, and I just, for the life of me, can't figure out what the heck maximum security is for.
That's happened before. At least he's still in prison, is what I say.
Well, that's about
usually
the only thing. I mean, he has, yeah, great, so he has a better quality of life now, but certainly the victims' families don't have a better quality, do they?
Okay,
and probably never
absolutely
will.
Absolutely. That is absolutely true. Let's go to Don in Hamilton. Hello, Don.
Happy Friday, Libby.
Thank you.
So there's different topics and everything. I'll go with the bicycles, not using the bike lanes. Here in Hamilton, well, you just had a caller. He talked about he loved riding his e-bike up the escarpment. So here in Hamilton, they just spent millions of dollars, and I don't know, it was a year of tearing up one of the major escarpments. This is a major thoroughfare, to put a bike lane in. Sure enough, the other day I'm going down the escarpment. Here's a bike in the live lane of traffic, as opposed to using the bike lane that they just spent multi-million dollar on.
Was it a bicycle or what? What kind of a bike?
This one, this happened to be a bicycle. It was not an e-bike. This was a bicycle in live lane of traffic, as opposed to using the brand new bike lanes, all mapped out, beautiful colored, painted green, and the whole nine yards. And the problem is, we live in a society where people just do their own thing. Whatever looks to be the right thing in their own eyes, this is what they're going to do. It doesn't matter how much money you spend, how many laws you put on the books. We live in a society that is, and I've heard you use the term, lawless. They just do what they want to do. Here in Hamilton, we have bikes that go, buses that go up and down the escarpment that were all fitted with, you know, the front. You can put your bicycle on the front of the bus, and they'll take you up the escarpment. Instead, they've lost a lane of traffic for these bike lanes, clogging up a main artery of traffic. It's craziness. It's
Dawn,
just
you know,
craziness.
Here in Toronto, there are lots of places where there are complaints about that very thing. So I don't know if they're new bike lanes. Maybe people didn't know about them. But you make a very good point, and I understand. I also drive a car, and it's very frustrating. Very frustrating, and frustrating for everyone. Let's go to Sam in Toronto. Hello, Sam.
Well, happy Friday to you too, Libby. You know,
thank you.
I just want to say, first of all, I love your show. I'm addicted to your show. But what I'm saying is that I usually don't listen to radio, but like, you know, you have a very calming voice, but in a very, very nice, organized way. Everybody says what they want. What I want to say is that when you talk about pedestrian and stuff, I saw firsthand yesterday especially the older folks, you know. Toronto, remember a few years ago we talked about, you know, fatality, pedestrian fatality, and I don't know, a couple of years ago, and I said it's like a war, Toronto is like a war zone due to this unmitigated construction permits. Again, back to the city management, the way they hand out these things to their construction buddies, you know, and the infrastructure work that helps the union and keep them think. I think Olivia Chow looks at everything, looks at Toronto and Torontonians like a purse, you know, how she can fund her, you know, lovely utopian projects with other people's money. And construction is gone crazy. I don't know if you drive in Toronto, like the folks who call
well,
in.
I've got to say, Sam, that there's a lot of construction that's on hold because the market is bad. And there's a lot of stuff. I mean, you're right. In my neighborhood, I forgot to ask the councillors about this, but literally... Right off my street, they began to do work, repaving a road so that it's half done now.
Yeah.
It's been that way for at least a month. It's not finished.
Unbelievable,
and the only
right?
good it like, does is to damage your car.
Yeah. And not only, like every other street is like a stress momentum. Like you go from a street to a street, next one, this one. And that's why this whole thing is, as I said, Toronto is so chaotic, you know, thanks to this city council. It's so chaotic that older folks, and I felt so bad, this older lady, she was passing, another thing, this bike lane, she was passing cars, you know, like an intersection in downtown, and then the bike lane, she got so confused and a bike hit her, you know, and I got out of the car, I tried to help her, and you know, and the construction right there on the street had taken like one lane away already, so people are like pushed and pushed and pushed, and somehow this thing is bound to create problems and, you know, create a lot of you know, unfortunate incidents for Torontonians. So again, back to the management, construction management, you know, which is not being done by this city, by the city hall.
Lot of management that is not being done by the city. And today in Jane's News, she was talking about more pedestrian-involved crashes because of the new daylight saving time. It's darker. When people are crossing, it's more dangerous. What I'm going to say, people, I mean, make sure you're not wearing dark colors when it's dark. That's one thing if you're taking a walk. But, Sam, I hear you. It's very, very frustrating. Thanks so much and have a good weekend, though. And it is time for our second break. Let me give the numbers out again. We'll be back on the other side of the break. Here's your chance to vent. Is it e-bikes, e-scooters? Is it the parking situation? Is it just in general congestion, construction? The numbers to call 416-360-0740. Toll free 1-866-740-4740. We'll be right back.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer. A free-for-all Friday. Step up, say your piece, and we promise not to interrupt.
Excuse me!
Just be lively about it. We have a lot of listeners hanging on your every word. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Welcome back to this free-for-all Friday. Lots to talk about with e-bikes, congestion, traffic, the parking. I don't know what's behind the parking events in Toronto. Lots to talk about. I am going to start with a first-time caller. So first, that is the bell to welcome John Scarborough for the first time. Hello, John.
Hi, how are you?
We're good. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Yes, e-bikes. I drive a car. You drive a car. We have standards for driving a car and operating in a public space. We have a driver's license. We have to purchase a car. We have to insure a car. We know the rules of the road because we have a license. E-bikes have none of those things. You've talked about injuries to people, children. So there are no standards. So what are the expectations when there are no standards? No results. It's a free-for-all. As one of your callers mentioned, it's lawlessness. And there has to be some methodology, and it's my understanding that e-bikes are not lawful in the city of Toronto to begin with. So you're dealing with a lawless situation, trying to bring order to it, and it's problematic because the horse has already left the barn. So what do we do now?
You know what? It's interesting you bring that up because I tried to clarify it. So I think they are lawful within certain parameters. So but I find different things. So that is something we have to like really nail down. But I think certainly the ones that only go up to 30 clicks an hour, I think they are lawful. If they meet certain standards. But again, we did try, and it was a bit confusing. Go ahead. Sorry, John, to interrupt you.
Okay, the bike is lawful. The operation of the vehicle is not. A 10-year-old operating that vehicle is problematic. A 16-year-old or a 20-year-old or one of your callers who's 75, it's a different perspective. You're assuming that they have the capability, knowledge to operate that thing lawfully. A 10-year-old at 30 kilometers an hour is like a 10-year-old on a bicycle at 30 kilometers an hour. There are issues.
Well, and it's the e-scooters that are more of a problem with children more than the e-bikes. And I think those are illegal. Completely. But like I said, we need to kind of buckle down and nail down the exact stuff because it is confusing, John. Thanks for your
first time.
Just very, very quickly, what's your solution?
Okay. Well, I think they should be licensed like any other moving vehicle. If you're a boat operator, it doesn't matter if you're a power boat, a sailboat, or a canoe, you have to understand the rules of the road. You have to have some level of education. Okay? With all these things, e-scooters, e-bikes, there's no education. There's no expectation there's education or knowledge of the rules of the road. And that's a beginning point. That's not an end point. That's a beginning point.
Okay, John, thank you for that. Though I'm not sure that I don't think you have to have any kind of license for canoe. Another thing to look into. Let's go to Paul in Toronto. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Libby.
Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. I had a bad connection listening to the show. First time caller. I really enjoy
your show, Paul, when I listen to it.
Got to
give you the bell.
Yeah. I catch it occasionally when I'm driving to work. I have a comment or a couple of comments that I think follow up with the previous caller. It's about e-scooters, e-bikes I'm fine with. So I drive to work in Toronto two or three times a week. I will ride my bike to work and back. And I now I have a bicycle lane. It makes a huge difference. And I share that bicycle lane with a lot of e-scooters. My feeling is that within the bicycle lanes that they're by and large, quite polite. They will wait for the right opportunity to overtake me. And if something happens, I've on occasion, they've apologized.
I don't think they should be overtaking you, but go ahead.
No, not within the bicycle lane. So width of the bicycle lane is restricted, but when you come to an intersection, it opens up, and that's when they overtake.
Right, and can be very dangerous the way they do that, but go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, okay, but I do it on my bike too. If there's a slower bike in front of me, I will overtake them. It's different where there aren't bicycle lanes. My beef with the e-scooters is that they drive on sidewalks. Well, so you'll see them scoot down the sidewalk.
E-scooters are illegal to begin with in any area.
Yes,
and yes, scooters, any kind of bike, anything like that, it's illegal on the sidewalk, and because it's dangerous, particular for vulnerable people walking. Anyway.
Yes, I completely agree. And so I agree with an earlier caller who said they should be regulated or licensed. I know it costs money, but I think that things would clean up a bit if regular pedestrians could catch a license plate number, take a picture, because everybody carries a smartphone these days, and mail it in. And then these people would be held responsible for driving down the sidewalk and making other people get out of the way. Now, I have, if you don't mind, I have one more comment.
Go ahead.
And it's kind of on the defense of the people riding these illegal e-scooters. So can't help but notice a lot of them are Indian. And I've been to India 5 times now. And the traffic in India is absolutely insane. I heard somebody calling Toronto traffic insane. It's not, compared to India. Completely different thing. You have all forms of transportation and pedestrians sharing the same space, and they all get along fine.
No, they do not get along fine.
Yeah.
I've been to India too, and the numbers, and this was years ago, not a huge, like 2017, the numbers they disclose are 250,000 people killed on the roads every year. That's not a great record, even though it is a big subcontinent. And I'm saying, we welcome immigrants from India, but when you come to Canada, drive like a Canadian. So I think it's, that's not an excuse in my book, and we do not want the equivalent of 250,000 people dead on the roads. So, Paul, thanks for your call. We do have a few minutes left. Let me see where I am at. Let's go to Pat in Toronto. Hi, Pat.
Hi, Libby. I think this is one that Z will have to investigate. But I've been looking at some of these big signs that are put up for proposed developments. And I just make a note of one. There's one, a 56-story building just north of Eglinton on Yonge Street, which will have parking for 3 cars, but it'll have parking for 461 bicycles. Now, similarly on Imperial, which is just north of Davisville, there'll be a 19-story building which will have 0 car parking, but it will have parking for 252 bikes. There's a story here. I'm not starting to ride my bike at age 81, but it sounds like they're trying to turn this into the Amsterdam of Canada.
Well, are those done? Are people buying the units?
No. These are the big blue and white signs, proposed development. And no shovels have been put in the ground. But if you look at almost every one of them here in the main part of the city, they all have that everybody's going to get around by bicycle. So,
we are planning on Monday to look into what is the situation with a lot of these proposed developments, because a lot of developments are on hold, and there are developments that have permission to develop going back to 2022, but they're not developing anything because the market is not so good, right? So we're going to look into that. I'm curious. I can't give you a lot of answers, but I do know that is the situation. And, the market, if they can sell condos with only a bicycle parking lot, we'll see. More power to them. And if they can't, then they won't be proposals won't go ahead. But that is definitely something on our radar that I am very curious about. So thanks for your call, Pat. Have yourself a great weekend. And let us go to Daryl in Toronto. Hi, Daryl.
Hi, Hi, thanks for taking my call. Change the channel here for a brief second. Merritt Stiles getting thrown out of the legislature for calling a government corrupt. And the point is, a few days before that, I saw her on TV. I don't know if anyone else noticed. She's wearing orange, and she has Fred Hahn, I believe is his name, standing that, behind her.
Yes, the virulent anti-Semite, right? Yes.
Yeah, so he's standing there like a bobblehead doll, basically. So is this the new, you know, power couple going on? Like, what's going on with the NDP? And then you've got Avi Lewis with showing that he barely knows what's going on with Canadian politics or whatever, and accusing that the NDP
He's also making common cause with Fred Hahn. Maybe Fred doesn't know that Avi is actually Jewish. Yeah, this is QP. This is their people, and you know, they don't seem to care, or certainly won't do anything about a very pretty virulent anti-Semitism. So people should take note, because as we always say, it starts with the Jews. It does not end there.
And
Daryl, thank you very much for that.
Can I make a quick note on the sidewalk issue?
Very quick.
Okay. I live just north of a hydro corridor. There's a bicycle path between me. I see bicycles. I see scooters, electric scooters, people walking dogs on leash, off leash. I haven't noticed anybody getting killed by this. They all seem to manage it okay. It's once you put them in with cars that you have the problem.
Well, when they're delivering food, that's where they're going. They're not the people who are using them recreationally or for exercise or for all those good things. That's not what we're talking about.
Okay, well, if they're delivering food as a business, they should be registered as a business and licensed.
Okay, all right.
Good weekend, everyone.
Let's go to David in Bradford. Wants to talk about the Santa Claus parade. The one in Toronto is happening on Sunday.
Yeah, good day, Libby. Thanks
Hi.
Again for your show here. Hi.
Great. Go ahead.
I'd like to thank the Eaton family because they employed one of my father-in-law, Barry Lyons, as their man in charge of their catalogs, advertising for many years, and always the great Santa Claus parade in Toronto. And it was always such a great event. And so the Eaton family, I think, deserves some acknowledgement for having funded that for so many years and made it available to everybody. And they also gave Eaton Hall to Seneca College, their huge estate in King. And I have many great memories organizing events and attending there. My daughter and I both graduated from Seneca. And the mentors at Seneca changed my life. So I think Seneca and Eaton's both deserve great credit. And I'd like to thank our local mayor here, because we had our Santa Claus parade last weekend. And I know that there's a family with two young girls who are facing illegal eviction, and they escaped the stress to that parade. And it was a great, great gift for them to be able to do that for an hour or so, because they're facing daily fear of eviction illegally. So it was a great thing for that parade to have happened in our town, and it would be great for the city of Toronto, for many people who need that same relief.
Okay. Thank you for that shout out. And people, yes, the Santa Claus parade is back on Sunday. And it had been facing a lot of financial difficulty. It's back strong. It is a very important signature event for a lot of people. Yes, it's happening on Sunday. And also check out the road closures so you don't get stuck in something. But we are all looking forward to that one. I hope everybody has a lovely weekend. I'll be back here on Monday, and we will talk then.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.